There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan.
My brother from another mother.
On FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5. Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Monday edition of the show. And nothing's changed. Easy. Well, I mean, lots changed in the news cycle. But getting in touch with us, it's like it's always been. If you're new, welcome aboard. Calls and texts both go to the same number, 251-343-0106, 251-343-0106. Plus, you can leave us a talkback message using the FM Talk 106.5 app. Talk about that later on in the show. And questions about what has changed here with getting what used to be the tax stamp. Remember, we went through that, and then the big, beautiful bill removed the $200 fee, and then there were still regulations. You know, the fee wasn't there, but you still had to go through the process we'd been talking about before. And then a couple of weeks ago, a judge out in Texas passed a decision here, and it has shaken stuff up. So what's the rule right now? What's the situation? My buddy Jeff Stone from Stone Arms joins me in hour number two. But leadoff batter, you know him, you love him. The crowd goes wild for the one and only Todd Stacey from Capital Journal and Alabama Daily News. Hey, Todd.
Hey, Sean. How are you?
I'm good, man. How was your weekend?
Not long enough. I mean, I know that's cliche to say, but it went by in a flash, and here we are back on a Monday, and August is pretty much over.
Yes.
I'm actually glad for that because August is so slow for news. And so, really, I think starting today, starting tomorrow, is we're into campaign season.
Isn't that wild?
I mean, I'm ready for it. I'm ready for it to be over, as always. But obviously, from a state perspective, huge races, big race for governor, big race for lieutenant governor, and with the national mood like it is, I did some writing on this for Inside Alabama Politics. There is a lot of hope out there for Democrats to think, okay, well, you know, Republican turnout might be down. We think we have some momentum based on the primaries, and I think all of that is correct, but there is still a big mountain to climb in terms of just overall voter numbers and just how much Doug Jones would have to outperform not just himself, but other statewide Democrats, others who have run for governor, and Tuberville will have to drastically underperform. But we'll just have to see. That's why they run the race, as we say. But some really serious races nationwide in terms of who's going to control Congress. I'm like secretly following that. You know, we try to stick to state stuff, but as someone who worked up there for a while and followed congressional elections, man, that stuff's going to be razor thin.
Well, I mean, the nature of it, right, is the party out of power in the White House is going to do well in the midterms. So, I mean, that's the baseline. And then, I mean, from national, the war with Iran, you know, we've got a bunch of questions there. And then, like, how much of an albatross is it? I think about here in the state of Alabama, it may be different in other states, but I don't think it keeps Coach from winning. But the questions about, you know, flock cameras and data centers and all that stuff that the Democrats have picked up.
Yeah, I think it'll have an impact. I don't know how widespread that stuff is. We'll see how well Doug Jones does in making it not just an issue in the news, but on television, in advertising. That's how you really get a message out there. You've got to have a base that you create with earned media, you know, when he's talking to you, when he's talking to me, when he's getting news clips and everything. But you really got to advertise that. And if he can make that a wedge issue between him and Tuberville on on data centers, then that could, yeah, that could have an impact. Again, huge mountain to climb, but it could. Nationally, you know, it is, if I was a Republican running basically anywhere, but especially in a purple area or now even in Texas, I'd be really frustrated with the president, not just because of Iran, not just, you know, because of tariffs and things like this, but like these beef imports, mm-hmm. especially in the Midwest, where that is a problem for the beef industry, cattlemen. You know,
it leaves us scratching our heads back here in Alabama. You know, I mean,
well, absolutely. I mean, we are too. But you talk about a turnout killer. Mm-hmm. You know, you talk about it's one of the most loyal bases to the president are farmers, and they are unhappy in places like Nebraska and Iowa and Texas. So I would be really frustrated with the president right now. And I was just learning over the weekend that, you know, everybody's kind of waiting on MAGA Inc. to figure out how they're going to spend their $500 million, which is a ton of money. And apparently they're not going to spend it. They're not going to give it to candidates to spend. They're going to spend it essentially trying to boost the president's approval ratings, thinking that will help kind of lift all boats. I don't know a single consultant that thinks that's a good idea. So it could be an ugly midterm for Republicans.
If you're just joining us, talking to Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, but also Capital Journal. So let's take some of those subjects into an interview you had with Senator Britt on Capital Journal. And so let's, first of all, Russia and the sanctions bill. Y'all talked about that, and she talked about Lindsey Graham some in that.
That's right. And, obviously she's championed this for a while, but kind of as a second fiddle to Lindsey Graham, and it's kind of picked up the mantle. And I think that's interesting. She's not only the Foreign Affairs Committee or anything, but she's on banking, and that's how you get sanctions done, is through banking and other tariffs and things like that. And so this, I mean, look, Katie Britt played a big part in getting this bill passed through the Senate. It has serious teeth in it in terms of sanctions on Russia. It even has consequences for China.
If they do business, the short of it, you can explain to people, it's like it's not just focused on Russia. It's focused on other countries that do business with Russia. I mean,
exactly. I think it's well thought out, but it still has to pass the House. And that's a real question right now, because of where we are just politically. Razor-thin majority, things like that. It should be a bipartisan bill, but it's also kind of a risk to put this on the floor. So she talked about that. I mean, it's a 30-minute interview, so we talked about quite a bit. We talked about the beef imports.
Yeah, several I wanted to get to. So that was the Russia part. The beef import, yeah, it was interesting to hear her reaction to that.
It was. I mean, you know, she has been supported and supportive of the beef industry for, you know, her entire career. And so I wasn't surprised to hear her come to their defense. And it's just a lot of confusion. Like, why would this be a good idea? She made sure to say, like, I understand the president wanting to bring down grocery prices. We all want to do that. But let's not do it on the backs of our own producers. And I can't find anybody that really doesn't think that's what's going on here. That was a big one. Also talked about Meta.
Okay, that's one I want to get to, because I was talking about this last week, and you know, when it came out, it was whatever, $18 billion. I know there's different numbers, but let's call it $17, $18 billion, which, by the way, remind everybody, the opioid settlement for how many people died from that and families ruined was $7 billion. So this is, you know, more than twice that. But I looked at the numbers, and it kind of trickled out, you know, how much would come to Alabama. It was like $117 million that I saw. You know, the attorney general give an opinion on it, but it was just it would stay in Alabama. Do you know anything more than that, like how we're going to implement this money in Alabama?
We don't. We're doing some reporting on that right now. In fact, we just had a little conference call, and we want to get into that because there's a couple of different examples of how settlement money has been spent. You go back to the 90s with the tobacco industry. I can't remember the exact number that Alabama got, but it was, you know, a lot. Well, the legislature at that time decided to create what's called the Children's Trust Fund to kind of invest that money and spend it over the long term and kind of get it out of the legislature's hands to, you know, tobacco mitigation, you know, things like that. And look what's happened. Nobody smokes anymore. So, I mean, that's a good thing. The other recent example is opioid, as you mentioned. Well, that pretty much, most of it, all that went to the Department of Mental Health. And, I mean, there were a few exceptions. And so, well, I mean, which made sense because they're the ones dealing with opioid things. That some stayed with the Attorney General and all that. But it became kind of a legislative appropriation. So I'm not sure which they're going to choose with this. I think it's ultimately going to be up to the legislature. But right okay, now, so we don't know.
You think it does go to the legislature? It's not an executive move on it? I was just wondering it last week. Like, how could this... Does the legislature get it? And if they do, what does it look like on the other end? Versus, is this something that Governor Ivey does on the way out and says, you know, here's the executive order. Here's, we're setting this up, or, you know, whatever.
We just don't know yet. And we don't know what requirements are going to be on here. Again, it's a settlement money. It could have different kind of strings attached. It's not like remember the different COVID funds, whether it was ARPA or CARES or all that.
Had
different rules attached to it. So we'll have to wait and see what happens. Of course, anytime there's a big pot of money like this, everybody wants it. But I think it's important to the state that we actually spend it on the related task of trying to help help our children.
Let's do this. If it does go to the legislature, when session comes in, you and I will just do this. We can do it privately, just in text. We'll keep a list of the reasons, the pitches made for the money. You know what I'm saying? Like, sometimes you get the, well, we need it for such and such business thing, and they use Facebook one time. You know what I'm saying? Like, right. the stretches that'll be made to say why somebody needs the money. That's what scares the hell out of me, is it gets out there, and then it doesn't have the impact it should because it gets split by too many ways.
Yeah, and I'm not any kind of expert on how to spend money or what needs to happen in terms of helping kids, you know, mitigate the bad impacts of social media or getting them less addicted to it. I don't know. I think there are some things that could be done on that, but I'm not sure how money should be spent. So now we know how much is coming in. We don't know exactly how it's going to be spent, but we need to start having those conversations, and that's what Claire and our team are trying to report on this week.
I'll be paying attention to that for sure. And also, as part of that discussion, data centers. And y'all have, number one, you asked Senator Britt about that. Also, you have a story about a resolution out there with county commissions don't want specific power to regulate data centers. So walk us through, first of all, what did the senator say?
Well, you know, she was kind of eager to address this, and she had already talked with Alex Engel, our reporter in D.C., because she, from her standpoint, she's seeing this, like, crazy anti-data center, or the exact opposite, like, yes, hurrah, let's just let them run wild. And, you know, she basically looked at, we don't have to be all in or all out. Like, there's a responsible way to go about this, to where obviously we need places to put this data. We don't want China to be owning all this. But we also have to be responsible about where is appropriate, understanding that they're just not a good fit for some areas and maybe a better fit for other areas. And people are going to have concerns about that, there should be some agency locally. So basically charting out a middle ground and understanding that, you know, there's a lot of rhetoric going back and forth that isn't exactly based in reality, and that we need to know all the facts and be responsible about what we say about these data centers, which I couldn't agree with more. I appreciated she kind of went there on it.
Okay, and speaking of which, too, so you talk about the Chinese, and you have a story. This is I've talked about this in the past, but good. Now Todd's talking about it, y'all, so it's real. that maybe you look at who's, and not saying that the people that have opinions that call into this show or whatever, but I'm saying, like, you see a lot of what goes on online, maybe fueled by people that would rather not have the data centers here, right?
Oh, absolutely. And it was kind of, this article came out from Axios over the mm-hmm. weekend, and I just saw some tweets about it. I'm like, you see one of these articles, it's like, duh, of course, saying, you know, the Chinese are secretly funding a lot of this online rage about data centers. Well, of course they are. I mean, why would the just think, why would the Chinese want to stop us from building, or want to build up distrust and discord about data centers? Because you know, we're in a competition with them. They have every bit. It's just like this, what happened with Facebook and the elections and building distrust over that. The way we have social media set up in this country, or worldwide, really, it is just so easy to influence people with rotten information, slop. And it was not a surprise to me to see it out there, but because of the data center debate has been so prevalent here in Alabama, I wanted to localize it because, yeah, they basically Twitter or X, they identified 200,000 accounts as part of a bot farm, and then drilled down, like 1% of those 200 accounts were actively spitting out propaganda that was manipulative, trying to gin up, you know, distrust of AI and AI data centers. Well, yeah.
If I was the Chinese, I'd be doing the same thing. I mean, it's just business.
It doesn't mean that every data center is good and that you know, there aren't some drawbacks, but when it's being fueled online and who knows how many millions or billions of dollars are being spent on this, I think we can, you know, rightly assume that there's some bad intent behind it.
Absolutely. People want to check out, and we just talked about Capital Journal off the top there. They want to go back and watch your interview with Senator Britt. How do they do that?
It's really easy, and I encourage you to. It's a very long interview, and so we talked about a lot of topics. So just you can go on YouTube and find Capital Journal on there, best way to do it. And yes, if you want to get the daily news, just go to aldailynews.com. You can click right there on the homepage, enter your name and your email, and you'll be on the list for that newsletter.
It's good stuff. As always, Todd, I appreciate you stopping by, and we'll do it again next week.
All right, Sean, be good.
All right, there goes Todd Stacey, and we're coming right back. More of Midday Mobile.
Listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
12:26 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. And yeah, busy time here at FM Talk 106.5. I mean, it always is, but like the contest, which by the way, tomorrow we will draw for the grand prize winner for the America's 250 Summer Showcase. One of y'all could be the winner of over $4,700 worth of prizes. That drawing is going to happen tomorrow on this very program, so prepare yourselves for that. Also, of course, you College Pick'em is out there. Got that going wide open. Got all their football shows here and football on the station. And in addition, just about a week and a half away from the G&D Farms Outdoor Expo. And you know what? I'll give you a chance to win tickets to that coming up today. So stand by for that. But chances for that and sometime in the next hour and 33 minutes. Yeah, looks like that, hour and 33. All right, to the text line here, and because I want to get to several things we talked about with Todd, and a truth out from the president about data centers. We'll get to that shortly. All right, to who's first up here? Michael said the president has proven over and over again that he's not loyal to his constituents, so it should be no surprise to ranchers unless they simply don't pay attention. Us who voted for him when he promised the America First presidency already learned that lesson. Mugshot says, what's Todd smoking? Governor's race, what race? Yeah, I don't think Coach isn't going to win. It is going to be interesting what the, you know, how close it will be. I do wonder about that because how big is it? Will people be single issue voters? Like is data centers or flock cameras? You hear a bunch about it on social media, which I love the fact that social media, people online, you know, feeding information into data centers, complaining about data centers. But how much of that will make independents sway one way or the other? Or I mean, is it just a thing that, you know, people talk about on talk radio, people talk about on Facebook, but does it mean they're going to, would you not, knowing that Tuberville's in for data centers, say not like a scam, although there's some story out that, well, he took $25,000. Do you understand how little $25,000 is to the campaign war chest that Tommy Tuberville has? I mean, truly a drop in the bucket. But that he's pro data centers, is that going to have somebody not go vote for him? I don't know. Let me know. 251-343-0106. Paul says, I think Trump doesn't care. He knows what's coming. I'm not talking about the midterms. He knows what's really coming. People are too delicate to discuss what's coming. Well, Paul, don't leave us on a cliffhanger there. What's coming? Unnamed texter said, speaking of data centers and mass surveillance, calling flock cameras plate readers is like calling waterboarding cleaning your sinuses. Well, texter, speaking of which, I'd go, it's been so bad with this sinus thing. First time in my life I've had like the real sinus thing. I would, not a full waterboarding, but that Navage thing is pretty close to it, right? Trying to get, it's like, get rid of the sinus problems, that's for sure. All right, coming right back. More calls and texts, 251-343-0106, and what the president had to say on True Social about data centers.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, it's at 12:35, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. We'll get to these texts here in a second, too. I'll get to one first, just because it's the earlier tech. B-Dark says, Sean, the banking system is worse tracking device than any flock camera. And but then, B-Dark, I was scrolling up because I heard Bill yesterday talking about your text. And now I get to see the pictures you sent in yesterday. Same stuff happened with my watermelons, by the way. So you're getting the rotting on the end. I have the same thing. Same thing. So we got solidarity with me on that. All right. And, you were talking about the snake thing. You see the picture? I guess he didn't put it up. Old time Bill was talking. I was just messing with him, sending him multiple snake pictures. By the way, if you didn't catch Bill Finch's show yesterday, Plain Gardening, you can always check that out by going to our podcast pages. I say that the easiest one is our app. That's most easy to navigate, I think. If you go to the FM Talk 106.5 app, you can search for Bill Finch's show. Same thing you could do through our website or anywhere you subscribe for podcast. Go back and check out yesterday's show. It's fall gardening. It's kind of cool if you think about getting your fall garden started, which is, there's this thing that happens in August. I think Todd Stacey was talking about August. And, you know, it's one of those months, to me, that you just got to survive. It's like you're all in that summertime mode, you know, through July and all that. And then August is just like, yeah, it's this transition month to get us to fall, right? Get us to September. But I could tell because I had to be dark. It looked like when I was in the garden yesterday and going to trim stuff back. Remember the old, like, movies where the guys were in the pith helmets and like the khaki shorts, and they had a machete swinging their way through the jungle. It's kind of looked like the garden had gotten neglected in the month of August, so I had to fight my way back in. Right, I mentioned what the president had to say about data centers, and this is a truth he put out this morning. Isn't that what you do on True Social? You truth or whatever, post? I don't know. Says this from President Donald J. Trump. Said the only reason the communities throughout the USA should not want data centers is if they want to end up being backwards and poor. If they want to be successful and rich with far lower taxes and jobs all over the place, let data rain. That's like rain, like royalty, not like stuff from the sky. The good news is that there are plenty of other places that want them. If we kill the golden goose, you will only have yourselves to blame. China could not be happier with this anti-data center movement. Actually, they can't believe it's happening. President DJT. There you go. There's not a lot of nuance to that, right? So I think what's interesting, and I have been pushing this since the beginning of these conversations, and it's you found me opponents on both sides, which probably means I'm doing my job. I think when you use plural data centers and say they're all right, that's not a right thing to say, because they're all different. We look at different things, like the one that's been proposed here in our area in Mobile County up by Calvert. I think that one checks all the boxes. The one unknown is, what about the power rates, right? Although I saw a PSA thing came out from Alabama Power say they wouldn't raise rates, but I remember they're capped from raising rates till 2029 per the abysmal restructuring of the PSC bill that came through the session last year. So But to say all data, no, when you say it plural, I can't judge. There's some I think that are real detriments to their neighbors. I think there are some like this that don't do anything. They're actually a better neighbor than other industrial places that are nearby. So saying all of them are fine, I don't think that's right. But saying they're all bad and, you know, it's going somewhere. And I'm sorry, I know to the absolutist, and I was an absolutist too when I was a kid before, you know, wisdom creeps in. To the absolutists who say, well, you can't have data centers because it's going to encourage AI and spying and all these things. You're not, sorry, you're not stopping it. So should you make sure that these storage units is what they are for data don't come here? They go somewhere else? Right, to the text line here. Let's see. More about my sinuses. Cool. Jason, hey, Sean, in your opinion, how much of the decline of Pritchard correlates with the closing of the paper bills? Yeah, I don't know, Jason. I don't have an educated opinion on that. How many people that worked at the mill lived in Pritchard? How much of the people went and got lunch and stuff? And I don't know. It may be a good question. You probably have more experience there than I do, so let me know. I don't know what started the... Was it the paper mills that exacerbated? I don't know. But really, if I'm the mayor of Pritchard right now, I'm going to talk about this. Data centers, and they're pushback. They're no on data centers. Once again, make sure that the data center is in with certain parameters, right? Why the paper mill was okay, but a data center's not? I mean, that could bring big revenue to Pritchard right now. What would you rather have if you're in Pritchard? No data centers and a truly failing municipal government, or data centers and revenue to have best police department, best water department, all like which one? I'd go for the data centers if I'm you. I mean, if I'm Pritchard. C.B. Carl said everyone's talking about Senator Tuberville and data centers, but whatever happened to getting him to explain his pledge to give his salary to veterans? Did I miss something? That came up even like, what I don't think, was a campaign staffer or somebody on staff for the senator that said, admitted in some story, yeah, he did say that, and then they kind of pushed past it. So I don't know if that ever was resolved, C.B. Carl. Unnamed texter here, data centers use quantum computing to link. Are we at quantum yet? I thought we're still not yet to quantum. I mean, it's out there, but are we doing it? And I get a friend of mine who is brilliant, knows about all this stuff, and get him on the show to talk about the quantum computing thing, because he explained it to me like in very slowly and in shapes so me caveman brain could understand, and how much faster and how much smaller it would be. So we have talked about quantum on the show before, but I didn't know they were using it. So data centers use quantum computing to link from data center for mass surveillance. I don't mean to sound like Ricky, but I've done my research. Look at all the money in the narrative push. There's plenty of data storage available. You have to call it what it is, and it smells like a grift. Well, listen, when there's money out there, there's grifters. I mean, it's like, right? So, I mean, that's what I'm saying. To throw them all into one basket, I'm sure when you say data centers plural, you could Google and find many examples of ones that suck and how they treat their community or whatever, but then are they all the same? And do help me with the, because I thought we still weren't doing, because my buddy and I were talking about it, and I asked if he thought there could be a, you know, like a, you know, empty buildings because of the footprint going forward with quantum computing, you wouldn't need as much space. And then these places might be empty in a decade or something like that. But a lot of money in it. But I mean, but you're not going to stop it. If you don't let the data center go into wherever, whatever municipality decides it's going to do it or not, do you think it's not going to happen? You assume, and I'm asking a fair question, and I know that others on the show and I have talked about this back and forth about what's inside the data center, right, being the reason to not go forward. It's not even a question of water usage or power. It's what's in there. But are you going to stop it? Are you saying that, like, if Mobile County says no to a data center, do you think they'll be like, okay, well, that's it? We're not going to do this. All right. Let's see. Rock and Roll Doctor said, let's say I write a story online about how in high school you, Sean, had a two-door Ford Bronco. But in fact, you had a Ford Bronco 2 in high school. So obviously I know you, Rock and Roll Doctor. Where will the fax police be in the data center? I don't know. Where are the fax police now, you know, if something's reported wrong? I had a interesting, like a, they called it a cluster reunion Saturday with two different high schools and 3 years of graduates. So it's kind of a fun event. Went to it, and we actually had a discussion about that truck. A group of us had all had driven the same Ford Bronco 2 in high school. Theirs, I think, were just sold. Mine almost killed me. Almost died in a wreck in my Ford Bronco 2, but still here. It's interesting. So if that's recorded somewhere, how do I change those? You're saying it's going to be too hard if that information is inaccurate. But it's already out there without, like, the buildings. Like, if there's information out there online, that means it's out there already, right? B-Dark said, Sean, do you ever feel like you were born 100 years too late? I do. I don't know. I mean, sometimes, B-Dark, but sometimes I look at the YouTube world, and would I have done, I've been in media most likely, but would I have done something different if I had come around when YouTube was burgeoning and I was 20-something years old? Maybe. 100 years may not be too long ago. Maybe 200. I mean, I used to tell my teachers I wanted to be a trapper, like Jim Bridger. And they said, Sean, that's not a job. And well, I ended up in radio. So, all right, coming right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
It's 12:50, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. About 15 minutes from now, my buddy Jeff Stone from Stone Arms is going to join me. So what's going on here with getting a suppressor, silencer, can, whatever you want to call it? You know, it's been a lot of changes, right? I mean, first change came out of the big, beautiful bill when they removed the tax portion of it. And that's what the judge, the states that have filed the lawsuit, and it went in front of the judge in Texas, basically said, well, if you don't have a fee for it, then this is not a thing. So instead of doing the process like I've done, maybe not have done, to get the green light from the ATF, now the word out that, you know, you just do a 4473, you know, do the background check, and you could go ahead and get your suppressor right then. So no form for it. But listen, Jeff knows, obviously, it's his business. He knows it quite well. He's going to join us and talk about the ins and outs of that right after the news at 1 o'clock. All right. And I will. Somebody said the Grand Canyon flood. I want to mention that in a second because I've been there. Let's see. Fire Dog, first up here. Anti-data center when you go back to your 1999 flip phone, cancel every social media account, and start using film cameras. Which, by the way, the film camera thing, remember that? Like how exciting. you go take the pictures, then you go take it at the one-hour photo. You know, whether you went up into the actual store where you did it or they had like a, you know, the drive-through ones out there. You're like, man, you get them back. You're like, well, that picture's no good. That picture's no good. Oh, that one's okay. Fire Dog goes on to say, I had a 1980 Chevy Caprice Classic or Caprice Station Wagon. U-turn radius of 8 lanes. It got a great 10 miles on the highway, 6 miles in the city. However, you could fit 27 adults or an entire Little League team in it. Yep, those were... Spent a lot of time in the back of station wagons growing up, that's for sure. Terry says, people on smartphones complaining about surveillance in data centers with a lot of laugh emojis. Adam said, I had a Bronco 2 as well. A lot of don't look back at it in the same way because the way the roof collapsed in the wreck, should have killed me. But it was the coolest, you know, short wheel, but it was a cool truck. I loved it. I thought I had truly arrived. I mean, I had the Eddie Bauer one too. It had all the it was blue and tan or something like that. Loved it for a long time. Unnamed texter said, "How many acres are they taking up in Mobile County for the good data centers? How about a cattle farm instead?" Well, nobody's farming that. So I know that area, right? So I used to hunt very close to where they're talking about. I think the track is like 650, 600, 600, 650, something like that. And they're going to use like 95 acres, I guess, for the whatever they call it, the campus for it. But cattle farm, you know, but the other thing is, first of all, they're not, it's timber ground, so nobody's running cattle on it. But it is a question. The things that I think it's the novelty, and novelty not like fun novelty, but the newness of it that has a lot of people asking questions, like, will the data center environmentally, is the data center, or like I hearken back to the solar farm, is the solar farm doing more damage to the environment than if I'm out there running cows? Right? They're not coming here to run cattle. Coming here for land to put data centers in. Haywood says, data centers, a lot of chaff in the discussion. Will they increase the cost of utilities? Yes. Equals may not want. Will they create negative byproduct? Weigh that out. Negative greater than positive? No. No real change? Sure. Why not? Yeah, the power thing is what I keep coming back to, Haywood. And even though they said they're not going to raise the power till 20... Well, no, they said they're not going to raise the power. Just the way my brain works, are they saying, of course we're not raising the power, and they know that they're capped till 2029. I just want to see something written and take it to the notary that says there's not going to be any increase passed on to consumers for the infrastructure and the additional usage of power. Just write it in regular language. Let us see it. Let's see. Michael said, I love my real 92 Bronco. The two scared me, especially after I saw one roll. Pictures are old enough that mom and dad took the pictures with a Polaroid camera. They're still in a box at my house. See if I can scan those, Michael. I'll show you what it looks like when they go over. When they hydroplane and you go out through the trees, like so, just you know where you go on in Highway 43, you get up to Thomasville. That was going back to Tuscaloosa, and you hit that section of five right there. There's a bottom that comes up. You're running. It kind of has a roll to it, and then there's a deeper bottom there. That's where the water was that I hit. And I went off the left side of the road there, the north side. Yeah, every time I go through that way to go up to see the tide in Tuscaloosa, I get a little chill when I go through there. The picture, I'll see if I can get the pictures. Also, when it comes to the war with Iran, what should the response be? Because the idea that Iran was... Remember, we were told that we got them. We've really reduced their military, and I think we did. I think we did, but they still have gathered up enough rocket launchers to be launching, right? I mean, you got rocket launchers on the Strait of Hormuz. This is the first true, I guess, kinetic action in more than a month. We're all waiting what the increased U.S. response is going to be. The president repeatedly declared the Strait of Hormuz is open, saying 24 vessels passed through in the last week. But you do something like that, even though we shoot down that. I mean, if the Lloyd's of London of the world, the insurers on these tankers, are going to not want them to go through there. They're not going to insure them. Look what the gas prices are doing today. Let alone we could all commiserate on the diesel world. And that diesel part of it's not just us complaining to drive diesel vehicles. It's everything that gets delivered to the store that you go buy. I mean, those prices are getting put into the products here. So what will be the response here? And what should the response be from us to Iran? Not just shooting down the missiles, but what's our offensive action towards them? What's right? And what does that say? If we do whatever the thing is, then do we expect a response out of them, or do we expect the white flag to come up from the rubble? Because I don't think the Iranians are going to do that. I don't think you're going to get this moment where they go, okay, we learned our lesson. I don't think it's going to happen. I just the idea that we're dealing with Iran like we deal with some other country is foolish. It's almost like when we get into negotiations with them, they're like, they through their emissaries say, oh yeah, they agree to whatever deal. U.S. press and the president and others come out and talk about the deal, and then Iran says, no, we're not doing that. I mean, that shouldn't be surprised by that, right? So, is next taking Karg Island? Is it boots on the ground? Well, I hope not. Right, coming back, let's talk about what the law is now when you're thinking about going to get a silencer, suppressor, can for that gun. We'll talk to a man who knows. It's his job. We'll talk to him next.